Blog Talk Radio.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landon. It's time for the Metal Injection Live Cast. But first, I would like to publicly deny the rumors about me molesting the young robot from Disney's WALL-E. They are completely untrue. I like fully grown mechanical vagina. And now here is the show.
Man, Glenn has been telling us a little bit too much about himself, I feel like.
Yeah, TMI.
Come on, Glenn.
What does that mean, TMI?
You're kidding, right?
No.
Too much information.
Oh.
Did you notice SMH now becoming like a thing?
What's SMH?
Shaking my head. Something stupid on Facebook or something. But SMH. It's like as much around as LOL now.
First one, first time I've ever heard it. And I'm
like a
big nerd.
Somewhat ghetto thing. The ghetto people say.
That.
Do we look like ghetto people to you?
No, but I'm not.
Do we look like ghetto people to you?
You know some ghetto. Well, Noah doesn't, but I mean.
You take that back.
But I've heard a bunch of stuff like IRL.
Yeah.
In real life.
Right.
What was that other one that I've been hearing lately that a bunch of people talk?
FML.
Well, yeah, fuck my life, obviously.
That's a website. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hey. Metal
Injection Livecast.
You'll notice it's a bit more positive today because Sid is not here. Sid is not
here. And
he has
AIDS.
He has AIDS and cancer. But he's not here because we sent him on a special assignment. He's going to be providing us with an exclusive interview with President Barack Obama.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Barack Obama, apparently a fan of the show. I didn't know this. Contacted Sid for some reason out of all of us.
So Obama is our only black listener?
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll have that in the first hour.
He's only half black anyway.
So he's half racist. and then in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Devin Townsend.
So we saved the big star for the second half.
Yeah.
But of course.
Obviously. I mean, like what?
Obama shmama.
What? You think Obama's going to follow up Devin Townsend? I mean, come on. No. Not happening. So that's that. Sid's not here. We're down to three. But you could be here with us by giving us a call. Our number is 646-929-1357. That is our telephone number, and we expect some phone calls from some peoples. Because, we're kind of a live podcast, and we feed off of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
we also feed off of a lot of other things.
Yeah, the Japanese food, which we were having before the show.
This table is strewn and littered with different foodstuffs. What are you eating over there?
I'm up to my salad and my soup.
Salad. That's all you eat is salad. You're up to it.
But I just ate protein and stuff. And you said that it smelled.
Hold on. Rewind. First of all, no, I didn't say that. But
you walked in here, you're like, it smells in here. And then you looked at me.
I did not. What are you kidding? I never said that.
See,
you're hearing
you
voices.
Weren't even aware of what you were saying.
Did I say that?
Wait, Darren, you said it smells in here?
No.
You're judging the studio smell?
No, I wasn't, but I didn't even say that. Wait, you're hallucinating.
Possibly.
So wait a minute, Noah. You took acid before the show and you didn't share any with me? Is this what I'm hearing?
Darren, you're the worst friend for ratting me out.
I just, it looks like you have mustard on your salad or some kind.
It's ginger dressing. My stomach is a little bit weak today.
What is this protein? What do you eat? You just eat lumps of protein or you actually?
No, I had chicken.
Oh. You're like a bodybuilder. Like, quote unquote.
What does that mean, chicken?
You're saying that other things come in protein form that you could have been eating, I think.
Was that a dirty joke?
She could have been sucking on Sid's cum rag.
Ew.
I just meant it was imitation chicken. But right now we have a caller, our first caller on the Zach Beats hotline. 318, you are on the line. What's up?
Hey, you know Dino has cancer?
Yes, we do know Dino has cancer. It just came out earlier today that he has stomach cancer.
I can't believe it. It's all that Italian food he's been eating.
Yeah, we actually spoke about We spoke about it briefly on the air, but we didn't know it was cancer last week. We just knew he went, was rushed to the hospital. And Sid, of all people, was signing off the air, and Rob goes, all right, good luck to Dio. Get well. There's some hope he gets well soon. And Sid's like, I don't. I thought that was very harsh of him. A cancer survivor, Sid is a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
And he's not wishing Dio to get better. That's terrible.
Well, I mean, what's that? Wait, what's your name, caller?
Do you think he'll still be able to sing?
Your name is, do you think he'll still be able to sing?
Amadillo.
What?
What's your name?
John.
Oh, what's up, John? I don't know. Yeah, I think he still will be able to sing. I mean, they said it was early, so it's treatable.
Well, he won't be able to do that singing stomach tour he was going to do. He was going to sing with his stomach. So he can't do that, but he can still use the vocal cords, I think.
Yeah, it makes me sick to my stomach.
Get it?
I see what you did there. That was a little play on words.
So what's your favorite album of the year?
My favorite what?
Album of the year.
I mean, I don't know. I have to really go back and listen to some of the albums that came out at the beginning of the year, because I kind of don't remember really what happened like an hour ago, let alone months ago. but right now, I got to say that the new Converge record, Axe to Fall, is my favorite record of the year. How about you?
I like The Great Misdirect.
That was a pretty awesome record as well.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find whether I like it better than Colors or, you know, I'm trying to rank the two.
Well, if we're getting into a music discussion here, which is very rare for the Metal Injection Live cast. I think it is better than Colors. I mean, I haven't really spent too much time with the new album, but from what I have heard, I definitely like it a lot more. It's more like, it's basically what they did on Colors, but like more mature and like they're better at what they're doing. That kind of thing. It's like a good progression from Colors.
It seems like if you start at the beginning of their discography and work towards the end, they seem to get more melodic and maybe more progressive. Do you agree?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Also, I kind of miss some of the old stuff. Like I still really love their self-titled and the Silent Circus.
By the way, can I just interject something? I want you to listen to something. You hear this? That's the sound of Sid not saying that everything you're talking about sucks.
I know. It's so weird. I keep looking over to where he sits, thinking that like I'm going to get attacked for every second. It's not happening. It's a little weird. I feel a little uncomfortable in my comfortableness.
Sort of miss it.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of New Moon?
What are you interviewing us here? What's going on here? This is our
I kind of like it. Well, John, no, I haven't seen New Moon. I didn't see Twilight.
I like Harry Moon, which is Rob's ass.
Noah gets to see that every night.
Which I saw today, and I also walked in on Rob changing his pants for his drug dealer.
Whoa, come on, not on the air.
Wait, the drug dealer was in here and he was changing pants?
No. I guess he was downstairs, and Rob didn't want to go outside in his pajamas. So.
I mean, I've done it before, so... I just felt like it wasn't appropriate. But thanks for calling in, John. We have a few more callers that we're trying to get on the air. Say that off! My pajamas don't deserve after dark music. So, yeah, keep listening, John. Devin Townsend's coming up.
Okay, Jesse. Bye.
Yeah, good,
well,
good,
I want them to
dude,
know
I'm
want
fucking...
them.
Yeah, that's wicked. It's just... Hello? Hello? Anybody? No?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Nope. Don't tell him he's on.
We don't want to interrupt
you. Can someone hear me?
Who, did you call this number? Who is this?
Yeah, this is Devin.
Oh.
Oh, for real?
I was given this number, man. I've been driving in traffic. I've been listening to you guys. I'm just like, how the hell am I supposed to get a hold of these folks?
Oh, hey. Well, you're on the air right now.
Well, right on. How you guys doing? This has been an interesting evening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This
is the only number I got. I phoned up my wife, and I got her to double-check the emails as well, because honestly, man, it's pissing rain here, and we're driving, and I'm just like, this is the number I got, so I apologize for being late, but hey, I'm in line. Woo!
No, you're actually way early because I thought we were gonna do it at like 9 o'clock, but we can do it now.
Oh no, I got a mail earlier that said 5 p.m., but I can totally phone back. That's totally cool.
I feel like it'd be kind of rude to just hang up on you right now.
We can't do that.
You know what? If that was the rudest thing that happened to me today, man, that would be one of the better days of this week, man. So feel free.
Just got like a lot of he posted in a bunch of forums that you were going to come on at 9, like Eastern. So there's a bunch of people
That's cool. I got an email from George that said 5 my time, but like what time is it now? It's like
right now it's 8:10.
Well, can I phone you back in like 50 minutes then and make it 6 o'clock my time, 9 o'clock your time?
That would be perfect.
Awesome. We'll talk to you then, guys.
Great. This is like a teaser.
Yeah.
This is like a teaser. Like, see, Devin has a really...
Coming up later in the evening, more nonsense from me.
My first lotto number.
That's right. 7, 5, sell. I'll talk to you guys at 9, all right?
Okay, cool. Thanks, Devin.
Cheers.
All right, that was it. We were just we almost pranked Devin Townsend.
Wow, I thought that was
still so wrong.
But I thought it was the other call, like not hanging up.
Yeah. All right, 7:03. I hope you're also not Devin Townsend.
But, hey, this is Devin Townsend too.
You're on the live cast. Hello, 7:03. I need a call screener.
What a buzz.
Come on, 7:03.
Why don't you just read the rest of the number?
Hello.
They're gone. So wait, what were we talking?
Hey, somebody ass dialed us. That's what happened.
Wow, I can't believe that. I really hope that Devin is able to call us back.
Yeah.
That would kind of suck.
Wow.
That would be our whole Devin Townsend interview, that 3-second call.
Imagine if we hung up. Like, we were like, we'd rather talk about ourselves for 50 minutes.
That's not that. So I feel bad. Like, you know, you went in a bunch of forums and said 9 o'clock. So, like, all these
right,
people are just going to come in for that.
Plus, I feel so unprepared. I had all these questions. And
and then you're going to be like, oh, no, you missed it. It was an hour ago. You know?
Yeah. But don't worry. Devin will be here. See, he has the number. He knows what the number is. Do you know what it is? It's 646-929-1357.
His wife also has the number, we've learned from the
character.
Wow,
yeah, I know. It's great.
And the Googler now knows that he's married.
Oh, God. And, of course, we have the lotto numbers, too. So
thanks to Devin.
Now, before the show, Darren, you were kind of talking about something at the boat club, but you said you wanted to save it for the air. So
no, well, I play poker in this. There's like a marina near our neighborhood, and the people park boats there. And one of the boat clubs has a bunch of a poker game, you know. Once a week. So a lot of old timers there. It's very nice, like a nice atmosphere. But once every year they do this thing called the old timers party. So like all these old guys come down, they throw a party for them. It's like $20 to get.
And you were there?
Well, I was there because they told me they're going to play cards too. You know. So.
You're not that old, Darren.
I'm the youngest guy there.
Do you get all the old women?
No, it's like a men's, you know, it's like a men's.
Oh, it's a men's club.
I mean, it's not really. Women can go, but, like, you know, they don't want to be there about around a bunch of alta cockers, you know. So I go to they invite me down. I'm like, it's $20. We're going to raffle off a blowjob.
What?
I said, okay, I'm not, you know me with my OCD. I don't really, like, you know, I freak out if I fuck a regular girl, let alone a hooker coming over and, you know. Whatever. I'd freak out for like 6 months.
Coming over.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I'll come down, you know, hang out until the hooers leave.
Come down.
All right. I'm not going to do this story if you keep interrupting me. I get there and like a naked Puerto Rican broad, like, is right there in the doorway as I walk in the door. And my friend says to me, one of the older guys, like, the girl walks by, she's like, oh, I need a volunteer. I said,
I said,
I'm trying to back away. He goes, oh, here's your volunteer right here. He shoves me in. So she's like, she's completely naked, right? She walks me in the other room, and there's like everyone's in there drinking. There's like a disco ball. Lights are off. You know, there's a DJ and all that shit. And there's three other naked broads, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, one of them, like, model, like, unbelievably hot. She looked like Jessica Alba with, like, giant tits.
My goodness.
The rest of them, heinous, like street sewer bitches. Awful. Okay? So they have these four chairs. They set up like two each back to back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the fourth, like, unlucky schmuck, right? So, like, she says, don't worry, you know, whatever. It's the show. It's not, I'm not going to, you know, fuck you on stage or anything, whatever. Okay,
I only
okay.
have gonorrhea. Don't worry.
Right. No, 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 but whatever. So I'm like, all right. I don't want to look like a stick in the mud, you know, so I just do it. And she starts taking my pants off. Like, she opens my belt and, like, takes my shirt all the way up. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I don't know where this is going. But thank God that she let me get out of there, because I backed out and they put some other asshole in, and I watched what happened. Oh, my God.
What happened?
Oh, my God. All right, first of all, they take the guy's pants down, right? They take his boxer shorts down to expose his ass. She takes his belt and starts whipping them, all four of them, like, on the chairs, right? Whipping their ass for, like over a minute.
With that guy's belt?
Yeah, hard, like, you know, like, fucking really whipping the shit out of them. Then they're going to give him a lap dance with their naked ass, which I don't really want, even, like, through a layer of pants, let alone underwear, right? but this is, to me, this is the most disgusting thing. Okay, then the girls kneel down, right? And all the girls kneel down on the chairs, like leaning on the chairs. They put saran wrap over their pussies, and they made the guys eat them out through the saran wrap.
So they made a female condom out of saran wrap?
More or less, yeah. Now, let me tell you. All right, these are hookers, like professional hookers.
Wait a minute. And they made the guys eat their pussies?
Yes, and I would have been that fucking idiot sitting there, like, eating that girl's pussy through a fucking, her rancid fucking disgusting pussy through a thin layer of saran wrap. You're telling me what they have can't go through saran wrap? That could probably go through a lead wall.
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
Okay, the fucking super-powered crabs they probably have.
Now, let me ask you something, Darren. What kind of lookers were these girls?
I told you, like, not the one I was paired up with. Actually, all four of those girls were ugly. There was one extremely super hot chick. There were, like, I think in total, like, six of them. The rest of them were just awful, like, rancid, disgusting bitches.
And they expected you to eat their pussy.
Yes. Part of the show, these guys, you got to hear, they're all like old, like Goombas, like Brooklyn Italian. Oh, you got to fucking go in there.
That's amazing. Well, what was the next part? Were they going to ask you to fix their TV?
No,
it's part of the show. It's part of the show. You got to fix my TV. I can't get Channel 4 going.
I'm actually glad you asked, because the next part of the show was they shoved their faces in the girls' assholes.
I knew it.
And no saran wrap.
Ah!
So, well, the saran wrap stayed on the pussy, I guess. Because ass is clean. Pussy,
yeah.
You got to
wrap
it. So
did
they
get paid to do that?
Yeah, it was like a bachelor party, but way, like, you know.
I thought you said
worse.
It was like a charity event.
No, but it was the same format as a bachelor party.
Oh, I've never been to a bachelor party, so I don't know.
Oh, well, but it's more teasing in a bachelor party. Like, I've heard of other wilder ones, but usually they'll just, like, you know, just give you lap dances and get naked and sit in your lap and whatever, you know, rub their tits in your face and shit like that. But
oh, okay.
I've never seen, like, saran wrap pussy eating at a bachelor party. Although the last bachelor party I went to was with Rob at our friend Jeff's house. Well, not at his house.
We ain't seen no pussy at that.
He wasn't allowed. He wasn't allowed to have pussy. Actually, I think what was the story? He was allowed, but, like, he declined it out of respect to his wife or some dumb shit. His wife was like, go ahead, have a fucking hooker.
His wife was at a strip club.
His wife was at a male strip club having cocks rubbed in her face.
You should have gone with her. You would have had more fun.
Yeah. So yeah,
wait a minute.
More skin.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we would have seen the broads drunk getting naked at least. But so no, we went over to his house. They're sitting there playing like Xbox and like, you know, hockey. Xbox hockey. And like, the fuck, you know? You're getting married, dude. But anyway, so I escaped eating saran wrap covered, thinly veiled, disgusting pussy, street cunt, and then we played cards. And while we're playing cards, they did like a lesbo show. They laid out some fucking rain tarp or whatever on the thing, and they're like rolling around naked, eating each other's twats.
With saran wrap or without?
No, just they were eating each other, so I guess they didn't care, yeah.
Oh, so but, I guess since they have, like, the same disease,
yeah,
they're not susceptible to anything.
It's the same ecosystem they all carry around with them.
How old were these broads?
Probably all 20s, roughly. One was like near, I would say near 30.
Ugh.
The hot one looked like she was just like barely 20.
Is that why she looked toxic?
Well, she wasn't really doing anything. That's the thing. Like, she didn't do
anything. You're
right
there, Robba.
Yes, younger women are attractive. There's a big shocker.
Well, at least it wasn't like really old and like decrepit women.
No, but I went to a strip club once where it was like, I forgot the name of it, it was in Queens or something. And they were like real heinous, like old. There was one, I just vividly, it's burned into my brain. Remember this one old bitch, like a 50-year-old woman with white hair and fruit roll-up tits. And like, and they were, she was the worst, okay, but they were all bad. And they would, like, harass you if you didn't give them money. Like, oh, you cheap fuck, you know, you cheap bastard. Like, what do you, do you deserve money? You look like my fucking grandma. With tattoos, wrinkly,
I went to a strip club once, too. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been to two in the same night, because the first one that we ended up in was, like, this ghetto, this really ghetto strip club, and... Yeah. You could tell that it was only
that's my
for, like,
kind of strip club.
Yeah, like it was only like really thick black girls with like, you know, like really bad polyester hair extensions and long nails and stuff.
Darren, which one is she talking about?
Well, there's a few. No, go ahead.
And it was just really weird because it was just like so like low budget. And
what happened? Did you get any?
Well, we didn't stay for too long. We just ended up leaving. It was this place on Long Island. And then we went to another Long Island strip club, which was...
Was this full frontal or just tops?
No. The ghetto one, the ghetto one I saw vag, but the other Long Island one with, like, the regular Long Island girls, it was just topless.
Yeah, generally they're not allowed to serve drinks if they show vag.
It was just,
for
like, so
reason.
Late in the night.
I think that's a New York rule, right?
Yeah, because I went to one in Jersey, and this was my only experience at a strip club. And I don't know, I just felt like after 20 minutes, I got it.
Got what?
Hey, I get it.
Oh, you're over it.
Yeah, I was just like, all right, women, naked, all right.
It is. I kind of agree with you on that, because it's more like a tease, you know?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to fuck any of the girls in there. Like.
That's the thing. Like, they weren't even, like, you know, like on The Sopranos. Exactly. On The Sopranos, it's about a bing. Like, they had top-shelf-looking strippers. But
well, that's not really what I meant. Like, I meant even if they're hot, I wouldn't, like, want to fuck a stripper, you know? Just because it's, like, panicky. It's like, you know, where's she been? Yeah.
Who just put a condom on, man?
You don't understand OCD, man. When you have a condom on, you're thinking the whole time, is it going to fucking break? Even with a clean girl, like, I know she doesn't have anything. It bothers me.
Hmm.
Wait, well, so do strippers actually do that? Like, do they go all the way in strip clubs? Like,
some of them are escorts, too, so...
No, it happens fairly frequently. Like, you can go on the back and pay a certain fee.
Yeah.
Have a little waka waka.
Well, there you go. I remember I went with a friend of mine who you mentioned from the the bachelor party. That same person, and
the same host of the bachelor party.
Yes.
Okay.
And so anyway, we go to this place in Jersey, and it's like, you know, there's like 12, 15 girls performing that evening, and like, you know, it's like. It's a whole a scale of attractiveness from, like, mildly attractive to, like, oh, wow, that girl is really attractive. Like, I would like a lap dance from that girl, you know? And so our friend picks out the grossest girl available.
On purpose? Or,
no, he had no self-esteem.
He was attracted to her, he said.
Okay.
What'd she look like?
In her defense, she had, like, it's always the ugly ones that have the best moves.
Yeah.
You know, she had the best dance. Whatever. She put the most effort in. Yeah.
You can tell she went to hip hop club when she was young.
So she was a white girl. She was like rail thin, like really thin, no breasts really. Like,
our friend has enough.
Yeah, and just like nothing special about her. But then anyway, so we were sitting there, and obviously, you know, if you sit down front, you got to be like typical, otherwise, like, you feel like. So we were kind of sitting further away. But these girls are persistent. They fucking come to you like, hey.
Want to dance, baby?
Yeah, want to. So then he, like, as if he's never seen a woman before. He's just, yes, yes.
A good impression, by the way.
And then I was there with two people, and they both went to get a lap dance. And it was so funny because a lap dance is like, well, it's like, I forget, it was like $60 for 20 minutes or something like that.
It's a long-ass lap dance.
Or well, however it works, I don't know, 10 minutes, what have you. And
I'm just saying I can't take it. Like, I don't want to be teased for 20 fucking minutes.
Right, yeah, you can't touch them. Like, there's a whole etiquette, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so 20 minutes pass, and neither of them come back. I'm like, all right, I see what's going on. They ask for a second. Then my friend, my first friend that we talked about, our mutual friend, comes back. And first of all, it's like it was like his bar mitzvah. It was like the greatest day of his life. I don't know if the bar mitzvah was necessarily that.
You know, when did he have his bar mitzvah? Did you generally have it when you're 13?
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's. I don't know. It was a bad. Forget it.
Oh, I thought this. You said this was for his bar mitzvah.
No, it was like his. Like, he was
sorry.
So happy. It was
I
like,
really
oh.
Thought. I'm not making a joke.
No. But then
13-year-old
boy. But then
I thought maybe he had it.
He said the greatest thing ever. He is like, oh. Oh, I think I'm in love. I'm like, all right, relax. This is fucking just a girl. Like, you know, I asked her, like, maybe we could get dinner sometime. And she's like, yeah, you should. I get off at 12. You should care. Yeah. So I'm like, dude, are you retarded? She wants you to pay for that. Like, that didn't. He's like, no, what are you talking about? Like, she liked me. I'm like,
she likes your money, motherfucker.
And then the other guy we were with still didn't come back, and he ended up spending like an hour in there.
Wow.
And got not like just an hour of lap dance.
Yeah,
like, that's
well,
it.
Well, do you know that for a fact? Maybe he got laid.
Yes.
Oh, he told you that?
Yes,
maybe
he just
told you that, though.
I don't see why he would hold back that he.
Is there a wet stain on his hands in the crotch area?
That doesn't mean anything. Could have nutted in his pants from the dance, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Oh. I thought that was like the indication that he fucked her.
No,
because then it wouldn't be all over his pants.
It might be.
Or maybe it wouldn't.
So to answer Kevin in the chat room, I would not fuck a fat, ugly stripper.
Bareback.
Or with condom. So
would
no.
You fuck a fat but not ugly stripper? Or?
No, what if the fat, ugly stripper was like was put in like an airtight shrink wrap or whatever? Would you fuck her then?
I don't think it's
what?
A health issue with him. I think he just
oh.
Doesn't want the fat ugly.
I like really small
no.
Girls. I like girls that I can break.
Ew.
That like I could just if like she's bothering me, I could just throw her across the room. Not that I would, but I just like to know that I have the option.
Right.
Now, do you guys have any strip club stories at home? Give us a call. Our number is 646-929-1357.
Would you fuck an ugly stripper with a nice butt?
This is a good question. You know,
well,
would
you rather fuck an ugly stripper with a nice body or a fat stripper with a nice face?
Wow. Face is very important to me.
Okay.
But that is a good question. I guess ultimately, if she does have a shitty face, you don't really have to look at it.
That's true.
But, like, there's more of the body than there is of the face.
Yeah, that's true, too. If it's just for fucking, I guess I would
yeah.
Be the body.
Yeah, but if it's, like, if it's something serious, like two fucks
right.
Or three, maybe I'd have to go for the face.
Jumpman Hat says you could break Noah. Why don't you hook up with her?
Gross.
Rob and I are so beyond that.
You were at that before? And now
we had an awkward moment.
And I remember it on the bus.
I totally remember it.
Come on, what? Tell, give.
It was on the B-82 on the Kings Highway bus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old were you two?
It was almost 10 years ago. Pretty much 10 years ago.
I think we were in high school. It was before college.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it was
over 10 years ago.
Did he like lean in to kiss you?
No. It was the most pathetic attempt.
It was like, so I really like you. Do you want to go out? Or like something like that. I'm like,
And your response was, why are you doing this?
Wow.
I was like, I don't know. I was like, are you sure? Yes.
Oh, yeah. And after that it was over, and I'm surprised we're still friends.
Yeah,
still
no, I think we talked on IM after that, and we were like, let's never speak of this again.
and
this is the first time we're acknowledging it.
Oh, I'm glad to be a facilitator of your therapy.
So, I was, this is like kind of segueing, because the other day I was talking about how when we started Metal Injection, we were in college and we were both taking like television and radio classes and whatever, and we were in this class called Sight, Sound, and Motion.
Yeah.
And when we first started Metal Injection, we used to do those like 3 a.m. episodes, and we had a friend called Eddie from this band, Fecal Corpse.
I know him.
Fake, by the way.
And he went around this now defunct club in Brooklyn, L'Amour, which some of you might know, asking girls if they would give him a blowjob to be on TV.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
Yeah, so he went around, he was asking like all the local like death metal guys who are in bands and all that. And then he finally found a girl outside that was like, yes.
Yeah.
So we taped it, and that was one of our first episodes. And I guess because we were just really happy that we were doing something, Rob was just so proud that he brought that into his class. And he showed it. He showed it to his professor, who was not just a lesbian,
a
feminist.
No.
Also the head of the Rainbow Club in school, right?
Yeah. Also the head of the lesbian club.
Totally offended her.
Did she just say that Eddie is like a big, like, just a, like a round...
Like a big, round, greasy...
He's Cartman.
Yeah.
He's Cartman.
Grind.
And he's like Cartman grown up.
But he's like proud of it. He's like happy to
totally
be...
Totally proud of it. Totally.
Like, gross.
Totally proud of it. And, like, the episode showed this girl giving him a blowjob, and he was, you know, like...
Well, it was simulated blowjob.
Yeah.
It wasn't real.
No, It wasn't. It was fake.
I was going to say... I think you could still... watch that episode in our vault. I don't know if...
I was going to say you should put that on the livecast blog post.
All right, I'll try to find it.
It's hilarious.
And, you know, at the time I was like, I don't see anything wrong with this.
Yeah, he's like doing a... just to like run it down briefly, like he's talking to the camera. I'm like, this girl's sucking my dick right now, right?
Yeah.
He's just talking while
and
this is happening. I'm here on Metal Injection.
Really, I thought about it. Like, I've thought about it since then, because I'm like, Rob, seriously, what were you thinking?
I never knew this feminist part of the story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. And, like, she really liked me, too. And that was the
until
end of...
Until that day.
Until that day, and she failed me.
Well, what did she... Really?
Well, she was like, I think it's despicable. I think it's disgusting. You like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it was.
Like, I'm like, yeah, but come on. You don't see the humor in it?
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. And,
It totally was funny.
It was really hilarious.
It was funny.
But
you're both right.
Anyway, I realized like what it was since we started Metal Injection, like that was at the point where I was like, fuck college.
Nah.
And I think I just didn't give a shit. Like,
did you actually finish?
No, I think that was like my last semester. I dropped out because I was like,
it?
I was over it. I was quite over it. I was over it because I think it's like, I was there for 4 years, but I only really completed 2 years worth of stuff.
I was there 3 years and completed like a year and a half.
I would just like drop classes or not. I mean, really all I'd end up doing is we had a radio station, which is where pretty much most of us met.
Yeah.
And
I met you before.
That was like, it was sort of like the anti-fraternity for our college, because I just want to hang out there. Like, I'd never just want to go to class.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I keep a lot of times I'll go in the chat here and like I've been asked to, because we can keep mentioning our old show, or I do anyway, and I'm like, oh, you should put some stuff on from the old show, you know, which a lot of it is really fucking funny, but it's like the worst sound quality in history.
Yeah,
like, just you can't. It's like you hear,
which is hilarious because we were at an actual station.
Yeah,
and like. The quality of our production now is way better with far less equipment.
Well, the equipment was really terrible, but also it was 2001. Like, wasn't it harder to do stuff with the equipment that was out then? Like, there wasn't any Pro Tools, right, or any of that shit. Like,
no, Pro Tools definitely existed by two. But
there were still like transmitters and stuff.
Yeah, there was just no proper way to record a show there.
Through your computer at home recording the stream of the school.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
so that was retarded.
It was terrible. But the stuff we did was funny.
Yeah.
It's painful to listen to the sound quality.
Just but, like it's painful for our listeners to listen through Blog Talk Radio, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, it's better. And we have an archive, and we're working on a new website for the live cast. Should be up sometime in this century.
Oh, tell us about that.
Yeah, Rob, tell us about
that. Well, it's part of a whole infrastructure refresh on Metal Injection. There's going to be a new main page design.
Wow.
And going to launch, you know, the site's going to be sexier.
So what are you planning to put on the live cast page, if you want to reveal that?
Well, I mean, I'm sure we'd have to talk about it, but it would just have, like, all the song parodies downloadable and about us, about, like, characters that we do on the show, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Like a micro-site.
Yeah, I like it.
It'll be fun. It'll be good times. Look out for that sometime in 2013.
You should let the chat room run 24 hours there.
Yeah, I guess we could totally do it. I mean, we could let it run. I don't know if you'd want these bastards being able to talk to each other all the time.
I'm siding with the bastards.
But, I mean, there could be a time where we're not in the chat room and someone just changes their nickname to be one of us. And then shit goes down.
You're a genius. You know, you can tinker with that so that they can't. Like,
we should be able to use our Metal Injection names.
Well, we can just say, like, you know, admin Darren, admin Rob, you know. And they can't take that.
You just want a title, Darren.
Yeah, you got me.
Which one is big and important?
I just want to be an admin. But what was I going to say?
Nothing.
Nothing. I have nothing to contribute to this year live cast. Devin Townsend is going to be on the air in about 20 minutes. And
again,
for the second time on the show. You can give us a call. Our number is 646-929-1357.
And share your college stories or strip stories.
Dropping out of college was the greatest thing I ever did.
Except that both of us were tricked into dropping a class and losing out on $1,000 or whatever.
$1,000?
Yeah, it was some bullshit.
Yeah, we went to the place where you drop classes, and we were like, yeah, we want to drop a class. So she's like, okay. So she drops the classes for us, and we were both getting financial aid. So after she drops it, she's like, by the way, you have to pay for it. And I was like, what? Okay, can we just add it again? And she's like,
okay,
but then you'll have to pay for the class that you dropped and for the additional class.
No, she didn't tell us that. She's like, okay, I'll add it. And okay, now you have to pay twice. Like, what?
Yeah. So I had to take out a federal loan just to pay for this fucking class that I didn't take.
I think that was the reason that was, like, what set me off to drop out. I'm like, fuck this.
Did you actually have to pay it, though?
Yeah. Funny enough, I was like, I'm never paying this, ever.
Me too, but they came after me.
And then, yeah, like, just, like, 3 months ago, I got a letter. I'm like, this is the final time we're going to ask you for this money, and then if not, we're sending this to a collection agency. Uh-huh. And then they basically harassed me, like, nonstop to pay. And I was like,
how much was it?
It's like $1,300, yeah.
Oh, I had to pay $1,000, yeah.
But,
Nothing.
For nothing.
I could have bought a freaking guitar with that money.
So then I decided to drop out, and I was like, fuck this, you know, I don't want to do this, you know, I'm going to just do my own shit. And got an internship, and it all worked out, obviously, but I took out a loan to pay for that thing, to pay for that money. Why did I take out the loan then if they're loan sharking me?
Dun, dun, dun.
Anyway, so I took out the loan, for the money and for, like, extra stuff.
Weed.
For, like, living. And then I ended up buying an ounce of weed. And it was the first ounce that I've ever bought. And, like, I never bought more than, like, a 20 at a time or, like, a 50. So then I smoked myself retarded. And I'm sitting here with this weed and this, like, $500. No job. And I'm just, like, looking at this. I'm like, oh, my God, what the fuck did I do? How am I going to pay this back? How did I just take money from the government and buy weed with it? What's wrong with me? Oh, my God. Do you think
the American dream, Rob.
Do you think my dealer could accept a refund? I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
a
refund on this weed. You smoked half of it?
I eventually did pay it back, though, so it was all right.
Yeah.
I ended up all right, but I'll never forget how I freaked out at, like, I've ruined my life by taking out this loan.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Not that we're encouraging kids to drop out of college or anything. Don't follow in our footsteps.
I encourage it.
Why?
I think unless you're going to be like a profession that requires a degree, something like, I don't know, like a doctor or a lawyer, I don't feel like you need it. Like to be in the music business, for example.
Yeah, that's true. Then it's a waste of time.
You just need to know people. You just need to like get an internship.
No, but if someone is pursuing a career in music, they do need to learn like production and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, sure. And you could either teach yourself or you can go to school. You could go to school for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just feel like general college, I'm very against it. I feel it's
I hated it.
It's just like a ripoff. They teach you the same shit you learned in high school.
More or less.
I was like, no.
But I still think that people should just give it a try. And if not, you know, then quit.
I mean, well, actually, what I loved about college was the social aspect of it, like meeting people and the radio station. But the academic aspect of it, fuck that shit. Mm.
Yeah. It's like a PSA. Fuck that shit. Na, 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 na. You're both eating, so I think we should go to
music. Yeah, let's go on music break.
And today we're doing something special. We're only playing stuff that Devin Townsend is in.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So for people who don't know,
it's a Devin Townsend rock block.
But first, we have a public service announcement. Ready? College sucks. There you go.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to the Chuck Blandington podcast. That's right. I've got the metal injection guys locked up in my basement, and they won't be bothering us anymore. It's my time now.
Shut up, Chuck.
Up, Chuck.
We're back with the Metal Injection livecast. Devin Townsend will be calling in momentarily.
Hopefully.
What? Why? Why you gotta say that?
I already called. I mean, like in some sort of accident, God forbid. But that's...
Hopefully he'll just find like a Sonic or a Denny's to pull over into the parking lot and just talk to us.
Yeah. But you might notice this episode of the livecast isn't as cynical as usual. That's because Sid isn't here. And the reason Sid isn't here, he's on special assignment in Washington, D.C. Earlier today, he interviewed our president, Barry Obama.
All right.
And he submitted a report. Darren, did you want to say something before we play the clip?
No, I just thought it was ironic that the guy that hates cynic is the most cynical of all of us.
Good point. Good point. Well, here it is. A world-exclusive interview only here on the Metal Injection livecast with Barack Obama.
Thank you for doing this, Mr. President. Have you listened to our show in the past?
At 4:30 in the morning.
Wow. I figured, you know, with you being the leader of the free world and all, you'd be asleep at that hour, not up listening to a metal podcast. At least we're on only once a week, so it's not taking up that much of your time.
I do that every day.
Every day? Really? That's sort of insane, especially since you don't strike me as a fan of metal. How long have you been listening to metal?
From kindergarten through 12th grade.
That's amazing, Mr. President. You're basically telling us that you were raised on metal? I don't even know what to say to that.
It's understandable if you're a little nervous.
Thank you for being so understanding. I'm usually not this frazzled during an interview. To tell you the truth, it's been a pretty hectic week for me.
This is no picnic for me either, Buster.
Whoa, Buster. There's no need for name-calling, sir.
You're stupid.
Hey, what the fuck, sir? What the fuck? I thought we were getting along, and now you're just being mean. Why are you acting like this?
Being successful is hard.
Well, I know that. Believe me. I'm the co-host of a hugely successful podcast. You're not the only one under pressure, buddy.
I have something important to discuss with you.
Really? Okay, what's up?
The future of America depends on you.
Depends on me? What can I do? I'm just the host of a hugely successful podcast. I'm not someone powerful like, help me out here, Mr. President.
A mayor, or a senator, or a Supreme Court justice.
But I have a lot of emotional and physical issues. I'm not really the most well-adjusted guy, you know?
None of it will matter.
But, sir, I pee my bed, sort of all the time.
It's a sign of strength.
Really? Damn, you are a good motivator, aren't you? Oh, man, I've been sneezing constantly since I pet your dog earlier. You don't think I caught anything off of him, do you?
Cancer and AIDS.
Cancer and AIDS? Holy shit, I'm gonna die! And I never even got to climb a mountain or skydive or fuck an Asian chick. Perhaps I could take that AIDS medication that seems to help or do some chemo.
None of it will make a difference.
Shit! I can't believe I'm gonna die.
I am just so glad.
Come on, man. That's just fucked up. The podcast would totally suck if I'm dead. Have you heard the jokes the rest of those fucks come up with?
Every single one of you has something to offer.
Wow, this is a total waste of time. I got up so early today, I even fucking showered. I did all this prep and it's for nothing. You're a dick and I'm gonna die. On that terrible note, do you have any final words of wisdom?
You could have stayed in bed just a little bit longer this morning.
Oh, I know, right? Oh well, back to you guys in the studio. I guess I won't be seeing you next week after all.
Whoa.
I don't think you'd die that fast from cancer and AIDS, though.
Sid has cancer and AIDS?
He can do a couple of shows.
Well, we knew that.
But who knew that Obama had cancer and AIDS to give it to Sid? That's weird.
Well, his dog.
Right, right. But I mean, where'd the dog get it from?
That's a good point. Well, that was an interview with Barack Obama. But right now we're going to switch gears a little bit to the main event.
All right.
The man of the hour. He is both sweet and sour.
Ooh, delicious.
He is Devin Townsend. We have him on the line. Devin, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you perfectly.
All right, well then, right back at you.
Thank you for taking the time out of your super busy schedule, I'm sure, to
no
hang
problem.
Out with
us. No problem. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for the interview, guys. I really appreciate it.
Cool, cool. And this is a live podcast, so we will be taking callers, and I'm sure there's a bunch of your fans listening. There's
awesome.
A few of them wigging out in the chat room. So if anybody wants to ask Devin Townsend a question, the number to call is 646-929-1357. But before we get to the fan callers, just wanted to, bring up a little rapport between us, you know, have a little conversation, a little back and forth.
Indeed. Hit me, guys. I'll tell you, let me just tell you exactly what's going on right now, if that's all right. It is pouring rain in Vancouver. I just picked up the drummer, and I'm currently driving through brutal rush hour traffic to the new rehearsal spot in which we moved into last night, also in pouring rain. And I'll tell you, man, after 20 years of doing this, SVT cabs do not get any lighter.
Now, you're driving and on the phone?
That's right, man. I'm just a rebel like that, dude.
Wow. Metal.
Wow.
That is metal. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you had a really good news today. Your album made the Billboard Top 200. You came in at like number 168 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, man, after 20 years, that is number one, like incredibly humbling, but number two, like incredibly surprising. You know, it's like
right. Now, see, here's the question. It's like, are you making music that's more accessible, or are there just so few records being sold that you can actually be charted now?
Well, you know, I think it depends on your point of view, right? Like, I think that if anybody uses any one of these four records as a definition of my current direction or where I choose to go in the future, then, you know, it could definitely be argued that this one is more accessible than others. Having said that, though, the close proximity that each of these records share to each other kind of implies that if this is a record that maybe doesn't appeal to somebody because of the nature of that kind of melodic structure, then there's the next one, which pretty much blows that all to hell, right? So I think that, my whole perception of what I do is as long as what I'm doing is honest and following the muse, if you want to look at it that way, to... You know, it's the best of my ability, then I'm satisfied with it anyway it goes. And I mean, on one level, you look at, okay, well, Billboard and all that sort of stuff. But really, man, like 3,700 records, I'm just happy that there's, at least that amount of people that still care after 20 years, right? I don't think we're in any real danger of shattering any sales records at this point, so... Commercial or not, man, I'm doing what I want, and it's honest, and I'm super stoked to have not only the opportunity to talk to you, but have people that still listen, right?
Now, that's another thing. You're pretty much self-employed, right? Like, you don't really have a boss. You just work at your own pace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. You know, it's like, and I think... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, how do you like, set guidelines and, like, you know what I mean? Like, set deadlines for yourself. I mean, I'm sure there's deadlines for records, but...
Sure.
How do you keep yourself motivated?
Well, really, it's like at the end of the day, you know, there's like a lot of things that come along with being self-employed my brother-in-law, he works as a stainless steel fabricator, and he's just like, man, I can't believe it. What an awesome job you've got, man. It's like self-employed, you know, it's like being a musician is the easiest job in the world, right? But, I mean, the thing is, you know, the reality of it is to be a musician and make, you know, a moderate living for yourself in this particular climate, you've got to be prepared to build the walls in your studio, you know, take the recycling in, do the financial bit, you know, do the samples, like write the records, master the records, kind of do the artwork, you know. It's like to do this, you've got to have a vision that I think gets you through the lean times, right? Because there's moments where, you know, like, last night, we're pounding this stuff up the hill, and it's like, you know, things get pretty dour, right? But really, at the end of it, we're so fortunate to be able to be musicians in this day and age, you know, that, you know, that's a thing to never really let out of the sight, is that this is an opportunity, and, you know, I'm an entertainer, and really I'm qualified other than making music to lift things for a living, right? So the motivation is pretty much, you know, we're lucky to be doing this, and whatever it takes to keep it going, yeah, you know, let's do it, man. It's like, it's not the 80s anymore. You know, it's like what it takes to continue doing this is maybe a little more than what it did in 88 when people were selling, you know, 20,000 records out of the gate to land at 168 on the Billboard charts. You know what I mean? So.
Do you ever just, like, after a session, do you ever just walk out and just say, man, I'm sick of hearing myself?
You know what? I'm sick of hearing myself perpetually. You know, it's like, right, man, we're making a left here. But, okay. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, man, I've been sick of myself for years, right? And I think in a lot of ways that's, like, one of the biggest challenges in terms of, like, continuing to keep the boat afloat is to talk about yourself. I think there's a certain level of self-loathing that goes into being a metalhead just in the beginning. You know, like, it's like a lot of folks that, you know, end up playing hip-hop and whatever that just absolutely love the sound of their voice, right? But I was drawn to aggressive music because I'm just like, I've been sick of myself since I was 14, right? So, you know, to continuously kind of not sell yourself, because that definitely cheapens the fact that we're able to do this, but to continuously talk about yourself, after a while you're just like, man, I don't even want to hear about me, you know? And you listen to your records, and like people are saying, okay, well, with Addicted, they're saying, some people are saying, well, there's not enough Anika, but there's, you know, a lot of people are saying there's too much Anika, and blah, 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 and they're saying, well, what's your motivation for that? And I'm saying, well, you know, essentially, over the course of a year and a half, there'll be 50 new songs with my voice on it, and I am more than convinced that there'll be, you know, an overexposure on of Devin at the end of that, to the point where, you know, having somebody else come in and sort of take over the vocal duties every now and then, I think is an absolute godsend, right? So.
So did she do more on this album, like singing wise, than on the previous albums? Because it seems like she was singing a lot, and especially with the remake of Hyperdrive.
Well, you know, I think the nature of the concept of these four records implies that Addicted has to be a certain way, just artistically for me. Like, and again, the nature of addiction is like what I'm trying to, you know, make an observation on here. And absolutely, is it a moral call? Not at all. You know, like, I mean, basically I don't drink and I don't do drugs anymore, just out of self-preservation rather than thinking it's like right or wrong. Right. But as a result of that observation and the sort of the euphoria in my mind that comes from maybe admitting at a certain age that things are in your power to control, and perhaps, you know, one of those things is like the ability to forgive yourself for things that previously you didn't think you'd be able to, I think that all those issues are not necessarily gender specific. So it was important for me to have a strong female presence just to kind of like summarize the fact that, you know, this is kind of, you know, as I'm sort of connecting myself in a way to like the world in a way that I've always either been too afraid to or too tentative to artistically, it seemed to make a lot of sense to me to have, you know, like a real strong female presence on this record, just thematically and elsewise, right? So.
Cool. Right now on the line, we actually have Vince Neilstein from Metal Sucks. Little website cross promotion. Vince, are you there?
I am here.
All
right. How we doing, everybody? I was just sitting here getting ready for my pre-Thanksgiving ritual with some of my old buddies who are back in town, and thought, shit, it's the Metal Injection live cast, and Devin is calling in. I got to call in and say hi to everybody.
Well, thanks, man. It's great to talk to you, and great to be on the line with everybody. And I'm parked now, so now I can sit here in my car and actually focus and not sound like as much like a frantic autopilot as I have for the past 10 minutes.
Turn left here.
Now we can get to the piece of the conversation.
Hit me.
So, Devin, you took over Metal Sucks last week, and you had to be a blogger for a day. How was that?
You know what? That's something I was actually looking forward to for a long time. I mean, I really rely on the internet, more so than, you know, perhaps I should, right? But I've got a host of sites, like we all kind of do, I'm sure, that we go to every day. And, you know, I go to Blabbermouth, I go to Metal Sucks, and, you know, I do the Twitter routine. And, You know, I check out a bunch of things. I go to Fail Blog and check out lots of, you know, YouTube clips of people dropping hammers on themselves and whatever, right? But, I mean, the metal sucks thing, which is cool because it's like there's, you know, the nature of what I do, it's like it's really easy to misinterpret, you know, number one, the music, and, you know, number two, the intentions, right? I think that with Pro Tools and with the ability to kind of say all these things musically, there's always the risk of you know, people thinking that either you take yourself too seriously or you really think that, you know, your shit doesn't stink on some level, right? So to be able to, like, have an opportunity to say, well, here's what I'm into, here's where I'm at, you know, I love what I do, I'm super stoked, I got a bunch of close friends that I, you know, I love and I need around me, and basically, you know, the bottom line is, you know, I watch really bad TV shows and sit around on my gaunt scratching my balls more than I do, you know, like, worry too much about, you know, the metaphoric nature of anything, right? Like, and so the Metal Sucks thing was a great opportunity for me to say a lot in a short period of time, right? So thanks Vince.
Yeah, man, I mean, I think it went over pretty well. People seem to really respond. I mean, you know, we definitely had a lot more visitors that day than we usually do, and a lot more people commenting, and I think just psyched to interact with you on such a personal level, you know, on such a real-time level.
Well, you know, I think it's funny to say that because it's like the, you know, obviously the nature of the industry is just, it's changed so much, and, you know, I think that if people, like I had mentioned earlier about the 80s, right, if your attachment to, like, an older model stays, then, yeah, it's going to bum people out with, like, downloading and whatever. But on the other hand, I think what it takes now, because there is really no money and there really is no incentive for people to spend $15 on a piece of plastic, right? Like, you know, I think that being able to relate and say, well, look, you know, we're all kind of in this together in a weird way, you know, and no one's better or worse than anybody else. We're all just kind of trying to represent who we are in, you know, at least some sort of artistic way, and it's funny, it's like I've just always been so misanthropic, you know. I think that's another, you know, tendency with metalheads in general. It's, and I don't know if that's like a fear of other people or something, you know, even deeper than that, but the internet, in a strange way, as much as it kind of separates everybody by putting us in our own little boxes, it's the most social that I've ever been. You know, and there's a strange irony to that. And I think that ultimately helps my creative process as well, because when you realize that you're actually singing to and dealing with other humans, right, that are either smarter than you or less smart than you or more talented than you or less talented than you, basically it's just a way to say, well, you know, here's my connection to the things that interest me through this kind of middle-class white Canadian filter, and here's my, you know, contribution to a whole world of music, you know. And you were saying, someone there was saying earlier, but, well, don't you ever get sick of yourself? I'm like, well, of course, you know, that's why I love so many other bands, right? Like, in my time off from working, I mean, like, the last thing I want to hear is me yelling about something, right? Let's listen to somebody else, right?
So, I mean, do you think that, I mean, and maybe you guys touched on this earlier, I didn't hear the beginning of the conversation, but, you know, you mentioned the 80s, and I mean, do you think the era of sort of the big rock star that's removed from contact with the population is over? Like, do you think that really in order to reach any sort of success these days, you have to make yourself available via the internet and via whatever other means?
You know, I don't know if you have to, but I think it's polite, you know? And I mean, I think that, you know, the age of the rock star, you know, if we look at it that way, I think there's just, again, there's this, even what I'm trying to touch on with Addicted in my own kind of silly way here is, you know, the nature of addiction, it comes down to, like, idolatry as well. Like, we look at religion, and it's just like there seems to be this human need to put people on a pedestal and, like, assume that, you know, somebody external or something external from you either holds the keys to some conspiracy or some universal knowledge that maybe you don't, right? And I think that that ultimately leads people to either make assumptions on themselves or others that are unhealthy for the creative process, right? And I mean, basically, you know, when I say following the muse, I mean, the things that I like the things that are important to me in my life are the same, you know, I like family, I like food, I like sex, I like sleep. I mean, you know, there's no real big mystery there. And I think that, you know, when you get, like, just another human and you put them in a position of just so much, you know, like there's so much like pressure on them. It's like, well, this person's like a genius, or this person is like, you know, like this creative entity from another world or whatever, then ultimately people just end up Kurt Cobaining themselves because you can never live up to that, right? It's like unreasonable to assume. So I think that, you know, the record Addicted, I think a part of that is like, what is it that we're addicted to? I mean, drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever aside, those are just kind of like things, right? They're not by nature positive or negative. They're just things. But what is it about humans that seems to need to externalize these, you know, questions and think that, well, maybe there's something else out there that we need to, you know, we need to know, oh, and that guy's got it, or that lady's got it, or whatever, right? So, I don't know. I hope that the age of the rock star is coming to an end, right?
Speaking of rock stars, a few months ago, you mentioned your fellow countrymen, Nickelback, and how huge they were, and you said that you were gonna make a record that would be like your take on what Nickelback should sound like.
Well, you know, I think the thing is as well, and it's like, you know, again, it's like I even mentioned something on the Metal Sucks site about that as well. It's like the problem with interviews as well is like, for example, here I am today driving through, you know, rush hour traffic with a, you know, a drummer in one seat and rain's pouring down and my wife's pissed about something. And I'm like, and it's so easy to slip and just say something that is, you know, either inaccurate or the semantics of it make it perceived in a way that makes it come off like a dumbass. So like basically what I will clarify about the Nickelback comment is they're from Vancouver. I know they're engineers, you know, I'm good friends with Scott, who's one of their main engineers. And I've been fascinated with like the production process. I mean, I love, you know, studio gear. I'm a total gear nerd, right? And like, more so than Nickelback, the thing that really was fascinating to me about that Dark Horse record was Mutt Lange. Because, again, when I was 15, Hysteria was just such a cool experience for me, right? It just, like, sounded so space age and perfect, and I love that. And to kind of hear Mutt Lange take that kind of aesthetic to a band that's typically been just, like, about hard rock was interesting to me. You know, and granted, I went in interviews, and I said, oh, you know, Chad Kroeger sings about his penis and whatever, and that was more of an observation as well. Like, I don't care. Like, honestly, he's singing about his penis, but, you know, he sells 10 million records as opposed to 10,000 dev records. So somebody's got it right. You know what I mean? Like, whether or not that's a high art or whatever, I still haven't figured out. But what I wanted to do with Addicted was just kind of, like, take some of that, like, finicky production technique and kind of the frequency range that they had dealt with and do my version of it, right? And again, did I succeed in that? That's subjective, right? I think it sounds like a good record. Does it sound as good as a Mutt Lange, Randy Staub record? Well, who knows, right? I'll leave that up to other people.
It's pretty catchy. Sure. It's been in my head quite a while. I'm just going to do one more question before we start taking calls. A bunch of people in the chat room keep asking this. So I just want you to clarify that. It's like Strapping Young Lad is just done, right? Like, you've moved on from that, right? Because every other person is just like, oh, is he going to do that again?
Dude, I absolutely understand that. I mean, if you give me just like another couple minutes to ramble like an idiot here, I'll give my spiel. Basically, Strapping Young Lad, I love that band. I absolutely am proud of everything we've done. I think Gene Hogan is incredible. Jed and Byron are friends for life. I love that band. I love everything we did. You know, basically, there's some bands that their creative process, let's take, for example, Slayer or Judas Priest, where they wake up, one of the members wakes up and writes a riff, and then they slowly morph that into something that is part of a brand that has a particular sound, a particular, you know, selling feature, be it lyrically or like whatever, modally, that is like, that's a Slayer song or that's a Judas Priest song. And that's how they do. And I think, in all honesty, that type of creative process, which has resulted in tons of amazing music, probably sustains a career in a way that maybe mine doesn't. However, the way my creative process works is it's intrinsically tied to whatever emotional catalyst or emotional development I'm currently going through. I mean, I never said to myself when I was 12 years old, I'm going to be a musician. That's it. I'm going to play on a stage and, you know, I'm going to stand there like Thor with a lightning bolt. Like, I just, ever since I can remember, man, it was like, when I was 7 years old, I'd be like, okay, it's a rainy day. So I'd pick up an acoustic guitar and I'd write something that, to me, sounded like a rainy day, right? And I still do that. It's like a cathartic release and very much an emotional response to every period of my life. So as a result of that, I've gone through some very negative periods that have resulted in, you know, the cathartic release. It's almost unconscious. It's like as a result of me trying to get from one point in life to the next, and ultimately my goal is to grow as a person, music comes out. Some years it's like Teria. Some years it's like Strapping Young Lad. Some years it's like Ziltoid, right? I truly don't have, you know, much of a control over it. So to make a long story even longer, with Strapping Young Lad, the period of life that was a very direct and honest representation of where I was at was my 20s. And what made Strapping Young Lad such a vital musical energy, something that I absolutely respect and I think the legacy is incredible, is the fact that it was coming from a purely honest place and the questions that I was asking were basically, you know, a direct result of that period of my life. So as a result of that changing, me getting older and solving a lot of those things, what ended up happening for Strapping Young Dad towards the end of it for me was in order to reconnect with it and make it a vital musical force like I know it needed to be, I ended up doing self-destructive things to myself, either drugs or alcohol or social situations that were unhealthy, strictly just to, like, maintain the integrity of the band. And what ends up happening like that is the kind of bullshit martyr syndrome. And I'm just not into it, man. And so basically, I kept every element of honesty to the very end of Strapping Young Lad. And then at that point, I was like, I need to change, man. What I want to do in the future is, like, symphonic. And to be kind of tied to something that I had resolved years ago, like, not only was a disservice to myself creatively, but also a disservice, in my opinion, to the people that hold that band so dear. Because what makes it good is the fact that it wasn't a lie. And so as honest as Alien was, because that was perfectly honest, is as honest as Key was. You know, it's the same thing. It's just a different packaging.
Okay.
Right on. I think that answers your questions.
Breathe.
Now,
Now
we're going to take some callers. So if you want to call and ask Devin Townsend a question, this is completely unfiltered, Devin, so we might get some shitty callers. I'm sure you might be into that.
Whatever, man. Bring it.
Rob, I got to jump, man. Thanks again for having me.
All right. All right. That was Vince Epstein from Metal Sucks. Thinks he can just barge in on our interviews. We don't fucking go on to his blog.
To have Devin Townsend.
Yeah, jeez. But let's take the call. 631, you're on the line with Devin Townsend. What's your question?
Well, hey there. First, I'd like to say I'm kind of pissed because my Xbox just shit the bed. But
your Xbox? Oh, dude, that sucks, man.
Is it?
Is it a 360 or an old one?
It's a 360. I got the three red rings of death, bro. It's fucking heinous right now. But anyway.
What were you going to play? What were you going to play, though? All my buddies are with NHL, so.
I was about to rock the new Call of Duty.
Yeah. Dude, I can't get into video games, man. I keep trying. There's only one game I ever got into, and it was Burnout. Because basically, I just hold my finger on one button and things blow up. That's totally my style, dude.
Explosions are always key. But anyway, I'd like to just ask you about how in-depth your musical knowledge actually goes, because you could definitely hear some serious knowledge of harmony and whatnot. So could you just tell me a little bit about that?
I don't even know the names of my frets, in all honesty. Like, I went to school, like high school, and took theory there. I've got a vague knowledge of what's going on. I've got a vague idea that the tuning I use kind of puts me into Lydian if I play a standard power chord. But even what comprises Lydian, I don't know. I mean, really, someone said to me the other day that just like, you know, if you just did 10 songs like Life off of Ocean Machine, then you could make $1 million, right? Well, 15 years ago, right? But basically, you know, I wouldn't even know how to start writing a song like that. I wake up and there's either a song or there isn't. And sometimes they're more appealing to people than others, right? So, you know, I just kind of, to answer it, I really don't know, man. I hear it and I know how it should go and I just do it. And I wish I knew, because then I could, you know, hang out with the prog scene a little more, but I don't know.
Wow.
There you have it.
That's pretty impressive. Thanks.
All right, cool. And let's take a second call.
Wait, I have a question before.
Hit me.
Sorry. So I know that you were touring with Steve Vai at one point, and you were also on his Sex and Religion album. Did you ever study with him? Did he ever, like, teach you guitar and stuff?
Well, it's funny. This next record I'm doing, it's called Deconstruction. It's, like, the third record of this four-record series. And it's, like, really, I want to write symphonies, right? And I know what I want to hear, but I don't even know what the notes are called, right? So I have been sending demos to Steve and talking to him, and he's been giving me a real crash course recently in theory. And, I mean, it's taken 15 years for me to realize, like, you know, that he's a really close friend, right? And so in terms of, like, guitar, when I was working with him, yeah, he's like, he showed me how to play his parts. But typically I've always been in another tuning since the beginning. I've never been in standard tuning. I've been in, like, drop C or drop B or something, or open C. I mean, an open B. So they'd be saying, well, it's a B. You know, it's the, you know, whatever. It's the 12th fret on the B string. And I'm just kind of like, oh, well, on my guitar, that's actually not a B. That's something else. And in all honesty, I have no idea what it is. So I've kind of been rolling blind for so long. So with Steve,
really in touch with the music.
What's that? I'm sorry?
I said you're just really in touch with the music. You don't even need to know theory or anything.
I guess. I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, I guess. Yeah, I'm in touch with the music, man.
But I had a follow-up question. I was wondering, from, like, all the, you know, like, the time you've spent with Steve Vai, is there just, like a moment or a lesson that, like, sticks out in your mind even now until this day from that experience?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is there, like, a moment or some type of lesson that you've learned from Steve Vai that still, like, sticks out in your mind even until today?
Yeah, you know, I learned a lot about, you know, what because right when I got together with him was, like, 1991, and it was at the end of that era, right, where things were just on the downslope of being these kind of huge, hyperbolic, you know, exaggerated personalities. And I think that I found myself resenting it because it was, you know, the time that I came into it, which I guess is fortunate. It was like I see, you know, I saw this kind of like this old guard kind of forcibly having to pass the torch, and it was just very awkward, not only for Steve, because I think he managed to actually get through it, but there was a lot of people that were just like struggling, just like it's not fair, you know, like. Like, for years, we were able to kind of, like, live out these fantasies and not really have to, like, lift anything, essentially. And then, you know, I found myself being really resentful towards that kind of sense of entitlement that came with it. And, you know, typically it takes me a long time to figure something out. You know, I'm like my mother that way. It's like I'll be mad at something and I'll lash out at 40 things before I realize, you know, the true cause of what I'm angry about, right? And I think it took me 15 years after that. You know, I joined a bunch of bands. I went and joined a band in England and did a bunch of stuff in the States. And it's just now that I'm coming to terms with the fact that, you know, maybe I was just, like, jealous or something because that first Steve Vai record never, you know, materialized into what I thought it was going to be. So the lessons I learned from him were just musical and, like, environmental and just watching him react to things. And, you know, it's like an ongoing process, right?
Cool. Well, let's take some more calls from the audience. By the way, if you want to give us a call, the number is 646-929-1357. And right now we're going to have 318 on the line. You are with Devin Townsend. What is your name and your question?
Hey, man. My name is Mark. How's it going?
It's good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Regarding a tour you'll be on with Between the Buried Me in January, I have to admit I was pretty surprised to see your name on the bill and all because it's a really badass lineup. I'll definitely be at one of the shows, but I was curious to hear your opinion of all the other bands on the bill. I mean, have you had a chance to check them out?
Yeah, we did that Ozfest tour with Between the Buried Me, and you know, I've spent a bit of time with their music. I can't say I'm super familiar with it, but the thing that I do remember from that is just they were great people. You know, like there was a lot of like the kind of
pissing contests that were going on where everybody's just kind of trying to one up each other at that show. But they were just this one band that were just like casual, nice guys. They're talented musicians. You know, they were like clear eyed enough that, you know, you could have conversations with them and enjoy their company. And, you know, I've spent a bit of time with their music past this, but, you know, what I typically listen to when I'm not creating it is it tends not to be really like chaotic and heavy. So I listen to it enough to appreciate it, but I've never spent enough time with it to have a fully formed opinion, but, you know, that'll definitely change. Cynic, same thing. We're sharing a bus with Cynic, and I've known about their legacy, but again, it's just, it's never been like a band that I spent a lot of time with. So I sat down with Paul in LA a couple of months back, and I just, dude, again, it's like we hit it off, and I really liked the guy. And, you know, I think for my first tour back in 3 years, and specifically without that kind of mask, that kind of like acerbic, you know, thing that I was able to kind of protect myself with strapping and lad, I'm kind of having to go out there and just be like, well, hey, here's me, right? Like, I got 15 records, and either like it or you don't, right?
No angry stage banter this time?
Well, you know, who knows? I mean, it's like, I think that the angry stage banter was, in a lot of ways, again, it's just like an honest reaction to the fact I just didn't want to be on tour, you know? So,
right.
You know, I'm up on stage going, well, I'm bored out of my mind. And, I mean, I love the guys I'm with, and we had lots of fun, but it's like, what I want to do musically, this comprises like a lot of emotions, and to kind of have to go up and be angry on a night when I wasn't was just like, you know, I found that my best way of alleviating some of that stress was just being a cock, right? But at the same time, will that go away completely? I mean, I doubt it. I mean, I'm a performer, and there's like a switch that I'm pretty certain will get, you know, flipped. And it might not be as acerbic, but it's definitely not going to be mellow, you know. I think there's my true nature, I think, is not quite Strapping and Lad. It's not quite the Devin Townsend Band. It's somewhere in the middle there. So my opinion on the bands is I think they're great. I think Scale the Summit's really cool as well. But, you know, as always is the case with me on tour, I usually don't really know how I feel about the bands till the end. Like, I remember we did a tour with Meshuggah years ago, and before we went out, I was like, yeah, they're cool, right? But by the end of it, I was like, oh, they're incredible. So, you know, I think it remains to be seen.
Do you know how much time you're going to be getting?
I think we're only doing like half an hour, which is unfortunate, but I think there's also something to consider, the fact that because it's been so long, I think the industry, the fan base, and myself, I think there's like kind of a tentative thing going on between all of us where, you know, I'm going, I don't know if I want a tour. And the industry's going, well, we don't know if you're going to keep doing it. And I think the fan base is kind of, well, we don't know if we're going to like it. So I think this is a good first opportunity for me to give it my best. And at the end of it, I think there'll be a lot of questions, at least personally, answered, right? Where is it worth being away from everything, you know, to do that? Because, you know, I'm like 37 years old, and humping it around in a van at this point is just, I've got better ways. I'd much rather make a bunch of records than do that all year. But at the same time, I think, as we talked about earlier, it's essential for artists in this day and age to be able to say, well, here I am, right? Like, here I am. Let's do it. So I'm prepared for that, too.
Cool. So you don't really see yourself doing much touring, is what you're saying? Like, are you ever going to do a headlining tour?
Oh, yeah, but again, I guess, again, to clarify a little more, I apologize. This first tour is the deciding tour for me. Like,
right.
You know, if we go out there and people are just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's that dude again, except now he's bald, great. You know, I mean, when's the next band on? Then, I mean, it's like, you know, it might not be something that I'll be super motivated to do. But on the other hand, man, we've been working, like right now I'm sitting outside the jam spot, bass player and drummer just got in and they're just setting up the stuff and warming up the room, right? But dude, I'll tell you, it sounds awesome. Like, you know, I've you know, really worked to try and make this happen and kind of not come out like a half-assed version of things that I've done in the past. I want this to be like a new version of me, and I want people to say, well, that's cool. You know, like, yeah, Strapping was an awesome band. Yeah, for sure, no questions, but if this is the direction he chooses to go in now, that's cool too, because it's still heavy. It's just
a different version of who he is, and, you know, again, an honest version of who I am now. So I'm looking forward to it, is the bottom line.
So what do you do, like, you're only pretty much going to be working half an hour a day?
I think that's a matter.
Hello?
That's a matter, sorry, the phone, or the cell phone. It's a matter of perspective as well, right?
Hold on a second, Evan. We're having technical difficulties.
Okay, let me see. Maybe if I move my head this way.
Or are we dead and speaking some crazy language?
Yeah, I know, dude. It's like I'm speaking in tongues.
It might be either or.
Can you hear me?
Devin, you're kind of breaking up.
Hello.
Hello. Maybe
let me try
Devin,
the other ear. Hang on. You there? Hello.
Yeah, all right. So we lost Devin.
No, I'm here.
let's do a one song music break. Hopefully Devin will be back by the time we come back from this music break.
I was impressed that we kept him on that long without a screw up. That was great.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Half an hour.
Here is a Far Beyond Metal from Strapping In Lad.
Can you guys hear me? Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hear me?
Hello. Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Issues.
All right, I think we might be back. We're just gonna get a.
Oh,
damn it! We lost Devin. All right, let's go back to the music then. Thank you.
All right. That was Strapping in Line with Far Beyond Metal. And I believe we have Devin back on the line.
Yes, and I actually just locked myself out of the car. So, can you hear me? Hello. Hello. Anybody?
Hello.
Devin, can you hear me?
It's sounding a little weird.
Okay. Am I coming through at all, or?
All right, let us call you.
Please.
We're going to call you. Hello?
Okay.
We're going to try to call you, all right?
Okay.
Still sounding a little weird.
All right.
All right, cool. Man, poor Devin putting up with our crap.
No, but this is metal. This is underground.
Oh, is that what that is?
You know what it is? I just want to explain to all the people that are listening live. You can hear it, but we can't hear it. You can hear it because you're on Blog Talk, and you're calling in. Like, you're hearing it directly. You're hearing his call directly. But, like, we're not hearing him to ask him any questions and get any answers. And when you hear it on the live stream, on the archive, you're not going to hear anything either. It's going to – all we're hearing is like – so it's like you're hearing something different than what we're hearing. But anyway.
Well, anyway.
So we're trying to do a little conference call action.
Okay, let's see if this works.
Where is the conference call button?
This is all due to Blog Talk, by the way.
Fucking hate Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought Devin was very nice. He's a very nice man.
He's an angel.
I just appreciate how deep he is in the music and how he stays true to himself. And
why don't you marry him, Noah?
Because he's already married.
That's the only reason?
What is vibrating?
Would you marry him if he was single?
He lives too far away from me. I'm not sure I'm willing to relocate.
What if he wanted to move to New York? Would you marry him?
And I'm also too young to be married, I think.
Oh, but he's not? Are you calling him old now?
Damn.
I'm about you in the corner once again.
Tell you.
What is happening here?
I don't know.
Hello? Anybody there?
Oh, boy.
What if we'll get...
Hello.
Hello, Devin.
Yay.
All right, we did it.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what's great? It's since the last time we talked, because my guys are upstairs jamming, but I gave them my keys, so I went in after we last talked. I locked myself out of my car, so I'm freezing my balls off out here, man. So I'm walking in circles right now, so we're all good.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
It's wicked, man. I'm glad to have the opportunity. It's just been a crazy experience, man.
What's the weather like in Vancouver right now? I imagine.
It is miserable, dude. It is just like rain of biblical proportions and miserable, sopping wet people.
In the 40s or so? Is it colder than that? Like, how cold would it be?
Well, there's a bit of snow in the rain, but, you know, it's like it's still liquid. So, you know, it's all good.
It's not much off from New York, actually.
Yeah.
I think we're on the same kind of latitude here. So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we have a few more callers. Hopefully.
Hit me, man. Go for it. Okay. I'm ready.
Coming through. And again, if you want to call us up, the number is 646-929-1357. We're going to start things off with 516.
Wrong one.
Hello, 516.
Hi, Devin Townsend.
Yes, it is, indeed. Who are you?
Oh, my God. My name's Sean. What's going on, man? A long-time fan, dude. This is crazy.
Awesome, man. Yeah. I just finished driving around doing an interview with low blood sugar, so I rambled like a total idiot. I have no idea what I've been saying for the past little while.
I was enjoying it. It's intellectual, man. I just watched the new Star Trek movie, so when it comes to rambling, I just saw enough of that, so don't worry about it, man.
I haven't seen the new Star Trek, man. I saw what I read last night. I rented Bruno, which didn't do much for me, and the Anvil movie, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see Anvil forever. And Bruno, too. Bruno didn't do much for you or no? Like, I just saw it. I don't know if it wasn't as good as Borat and, you know, the Ali G show, but I didn't mean to check it.
Hit me, what's your question?
Yeah. Back to that. I got a little off topic. Hold on, my friend here has some questions for you, Chris. What do you want to ask? He actually just got here addicted. He got the picture you drew of the farmer, and it says corn looking good. It's quite funny.
It's hard to hear you, man. I'm kind of going on every third word. So it's something about the picture I drew on your addicted cover. Which one was it?
It was a picture of a farmer. He's just farming, and it says corn's looking good.
Dude, yeah, you know what? I was running out of ideas, man. Like, that's the bottom line there. It's like, you know, basically, it's like the days right now are between trying to get the band ready and trying to get everything going and trying to keep business rolling and, you know, money and keep, you know, got a wife and family and all that stuff, right? Cool. We had to do those covers. And basically, I was just going to start by doing, you know, all the, like, the DTP logo and then splatter the paint on them and then, you know, and then do the hearts on the back. But every now and then, I just get some idea and just kind of say, okay, well, this one, I'll just do that because gets it done. And I guess the corn's looking good was basically where my head was at that point. Maybe I was like, you know what, maybe I just need to be a farmer, you know. Dude, there's a new, the last batch, because I was doing them in my garage there. We put all the paint on it and, I got a cat, right, and he's scratching madly at the door, and we let him in, and he just ran all over them while the paint was still wet and just totally biffed them. So there's, like, these cat prints on a bunch of them, and they just ended up smearing on each other. So, you know, that's the Uber special ones.
Thanks for your call, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Cheers.
All right, we got another caller, 408. You are on the line with Devin Townsend. What is your name and question?
John Peters.
John Peters, all right.
Hello, John.
Okay. My question is, I was wondering if we could get any hints at the drummers or singers on Deconstruction.
You know what? I've got a bunch of people that I'm planning on using for Deconstruction, but basically I've got, you know, about 15 grand for each of these records. And I mean, it's 15 grand is a lot of money, obviously, but I mean, for a record, it doesn't go very far between art and photos and all that. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what the best use of that money is, you know, because I also want to put I've got this whole orchestral thing that I'm wanting to do and like a choir and, you know, and then I just got a ton of different styles for like different drummers and everything and like a ton of different parts for vocalists. But it's really going to come down to, unfortunately, charity from a lot of these folks. And, you know, and above and beyond that, what the best use of time versus computer is. So there's a bunch of people that I'm kind of got confirmed. But before I kind of let the cat out of the bag, because you never know when those things can go south, depending on schedule conflicts or whatever, I'm just going to remain silent on that if it's okay.
Cool. Devin, we have a question in the chat room. One guy keeps copying it,
yeah,
it over and over again. So I'll just...
Go.
I'll ask it here. But they were wondering if you would ever consider a reunion with Ginger Wildheart. Because Ginger, into it.
You know, Ginger is... He's an incredible musician, an incredibly honest person. And I love him dearly. Not yet, I guess, would be the most immediate answer. You know, it's like I've got enough going and then enough that I want to do. And basically, my biggest problem with being in a band of any sort is, regardless of what the potential is or what the potential isn't, other people sap my energy, you know. And the people that are the most passionate and the most intense and the most beautiful are often the ones that I end up thinking too much about, you know. And it's like... being in strapping was really difficult because it's like five guys you're married to without any fringe benefits, right? So, and it's like, so I think there's a real element of like control that I need to have currently. And I'm not talking about forever, but I mean currently that, you know, I'm trying to exercise with this Devin Townsend project and whatever. I'll tell you what I'd like to do with Ginger, you know, other than have him as, you know, my friend forever is, you know, so here we are. We're both 55. We both got a couple of acoustic guitars and we do an acoustic record. That's perfect. But I mean, dude, the new Wild Hearts record is incredible. And like his solo stuff, I mean, Ginger's out of his, dude, not out of his mind. He's very much in his mind actually. But that guy needs, you know, I personally think that guy's one of those musicians that people just need to realize the brilliance of what he does, man, because he's just so good, man. And he's so passionate and so honest. And in terms of me working or not working with him, man, I don't want to work with anybody right now. You know, I want to work with Ziltoid, right? Because he gives me the least amount of things to think about.
You know? Cool. And will there be any crabcore on this new record?
Crabcore? Oh, well, you know, I think I've been vegetarian for too many years, man. Like, maybe there'll be tofu core, you know? You know, like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, it's funny. It's you know, I see people like totally raging on that attack band, man. And I mean, you got to admit it. It's just pretty funny, right? But that being said, it's like, you know, I can't help but there's a couple other videos I saw posted after with dudes, you know, at the talent show, you know, doing Super Grover vocals in front of their mom. And I was just kind of like, oh, dude, I don't know.
It's so crazy how it's just like bled into the mainstream, you know, like stuff you'd never really expect to happen. I guess it's something like a Hot Topic being in malls and it's just everywhere now. Whereas like even like 5 years ago, it was still very, very much underground. And like,
well, you know, it's funny you say that because when we did Ozfest with strapping, that was one of the like the one of the straws that broke the camel's back for me, in all honesty, because I got to this point where I was just like, what started? I remember we did a tour with Testament and Stuck Mojo, and we played in Atlanta, and the audience hated us, and so we just hated back, and it was just like, all right, you don't like us, we don't like you, right? And
yeah.
You know, bass player got into a fight, and I'm screaming at everybody, and the dudes are fighting, and it was like, but that was like really an honest, like, well, shit, you know, we're in a van, and we, you know, this sucks. You know, we play, come all this way to play for you, and we're a good band, and you're giving us this attitude, well, fuck you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of became our thing. And then all of a sudden when we were doing Ozfest, I remember looking out, and I'm going, you suck. And the irony of all of a sudden was just like, yeah, you're right, we suck, isn't that great? There's that band that throws out those ironic, acerbic comments. Isn't that great? Check out their T-shirts. It exemplifies that ironic, acerbic quality, right? And I'm thinking, what started as like a middle finger, which is what the passion of metal really was about for me in the beginning, ended up being this like really weird commodity. And, you know, and when things that start off with the, you know, their true nature being in like, well, look, I'm mad at my dad, you know, so I'm going to go scream for a while. When all of a sudden that becomes part of this mainstream consciousness in a way, like all the power gets sucked out of it. You know, like I saw, you know, that, you know, just like the idea of like that Polish commercial where that guy's pretending to be Nurgle, right? And it's just like you get that idea of like, you know, what is a truly passionate statement becomes almost neutered by the fact that people think it's like, oh, it's so cute, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
It's like it's not cute. That's the whole idea with playing metal. I didn't, you know, the reason I play metal is because I'm not cute. You know what I mean? If I was cute, man, I'd be in, like, some boy band singing about, you know, love gone wrong or something, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We only have 5 minutes left, so if you guys want to, 4 minutes left, so if you guys want to make a call, now's the time to do it. 646-929-1357. 804, you have been patiently waiting on the line. What is your name and question? 804.
What?
804, where art thou?
You don't hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, shit. Oh, man, I didn't think I'd end up on here. Oh, man.
Never know with my talk.
I'm Zane. Hey, Dev, how you doing? I just
good, man. Hit me.
I really enjoyed, you know, all the writing you did for Metal Sucks. One day, and I was just wondering if you planned on doing any future, you know, guest blogging, stuff like that.
guest blogging, did you say?
Yeah.
Or start your own blog.
Sorry, there's a cavalcade of semi trucks going by here. Is it, did you say blogging, like with the Metal Sucks kind of thing? Yeah, you know, it's like I'm such a mouthpiece, man, that it's like basically I'm a hunt and poke type of typist, right? So I mean, it sucks for me to type, but man, you give me a microphone and an incentive, and I'll ramble on like an idiot, like I have for the past hour at anybody, right? So
maybe you
know, like
podcast.
Yeah, totally. Hey there, it's Radio Dev, right on, Z95.3, Vancouver's home of rock and roll.
That was awesome.
That was good. That was perfect. Totally otherwise. All right, thank you, 804. 503, you're on the line. You got to make this quick.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Hurry up,
503.
503.
Yes.
Am I
503?
Yeah. Isn't that your... area code?
Yes, so yeah.
What's your question?
I don't know who said it, but Crab Gore for the win.
Nice.
I hear that, man. That is the most interesting question of the night, because in a way it's like a statement.
Yeah. Okay, we might have an actual question now. 408. Reveal yourself.
Quickly.
Hi, yeah, no, I was just wondering, I'm a really big fan of you, really, really good music and stuff like that, and in relation to Lost, I did notice some patterns to your albums. All Lost numbers seem to be corresponding to one of your very important albums, which is kind of cool. But no, my main question was about Bears. What are your thoughts on Bears, Devin? I respect your opinions, I would like to know, what are your thoughts on Bears?
Bears or Beards?
Bears.
Beards or like... B-A-R-S.
B-A-R-S.
Well, you know, I am absolutely hetero. There is no question about that. So, you know, it's like if somebody's into having sex with big men, that is absolutely, you know, their prerogative.
Uh-oh.
And I'm cool with it. But, you know, for me, dude, like, you know, I've been married for 20 years and I am absolutely into the females. So, but I mean, I appreciate it, dude. You know, the big furry animals, love them. Don't eat me. We're good to go. You guys, it's been a real honor. Thank you so much for the interview. I'm sorry it's been so erratic with like the driving and all that sort of shit, but I mean, I really appreciate the support, and you guys are doing a great thing. I pay attention to you guys all the time. Have a great day. Wrap it up.
How rude of her, you know? She's like, get off the phone.
I know. Listen to her. You know, it's like, what's going to happen? We've got to disarm this time bomb, because if it hits 60 seconds, who knows what will happen to the island.
Well, Devin, we really appreciate you you taking an hour of your time and walking around in circles in the cold and talking to us.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go in and try and get this show together for y'all. Have a great one, guys. Okay. I really appreciate the support.
Out of New York. And, of course, pick up Addicted, the new Devin Townsend CD, and Devin, thanks.
Yes.
You hang up.
Cheers. Yeah, I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, later, Devin.
Cheers.
That was Devin Townsend calling into the Metal Injection live cast. We hope you guys had a good time. And
fast.
That was it might have been the 5 or 10 minutes that we were freaking out because Blog Talk Radio blew up.
Yeah, and we thought that maybe we lost our archives.
But we did not. We did not. So thank you to everybody who listened in. Thank you to Devin Townsend. Thank you to Sid for not ruining it.
Oh, yeah. What a relief not to have him breathing down my neck.
What do you think of Devin Townsend, Sid? Oh, that's great. All right. And on that note,
we will be back with a brand new episode next week. We hope you will join us. We don't have any guests planned.
Right now.
But maybe I'll work on it.
Okay.
If I feel like it.
Cool.
What should we close out the show with?
I would say we should close out the show with a bit that we've done.
Let's see which bits.
I don't know.
How about the Alex Skolnick PSA?
I have that. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Here it is.
For $20, you can go to the movies and even get some popcorn.
In Jersey, for $20, you can buy Alex Skolnick a couple of new packs of guitar strings.
For $20, you can go to the amusement park.
In Jersey for $20, you could help Alex Skolnick take a cab to his gig at a local bar.
For $20, you can spend the night bowling with friends.
In Ocean City, New Jersey, for $20, you can help get Alex Skolnick to finally move out of my fucking living room. Hello, my name is Thor Shredstein, and I'm here to urge you to donate all you can to the Alex Skolnick Relief Fund, better known as Aspirin. Anything you can spare will help get Alex back on his feet after this rough patch in his life. Even a couple of dollars can help buy him a phone card he can then use to call Chuck Billy and beg for another tour. So please, give all you can. Alex is waiting for you. Thomas Tobin.
This is your announcer, Chuck Flanagan. I would like... deny the rumors about... completely untrue. I... here is the show.
Glenn has been calling us a little bit too much about himself, I feel like.
Yeah, TMI.
Come on, Glenn.
What does that mean, TMI?
You're kidding, right?
No.
Too much information.
Oh.
Did you notice SMH now becoming like a thing?
with SMH.
Shake it.